On this episode of Still Loading...
It ain't no petting zoo out there! Peeps be getting deep sixed!
Welcome back to Still Loading. Once again, Justin is out, but never fear, I have brought my younger brother with me.
How exciting for all of us. Hi, I'm Michael. Nice to meet you all.
He has been on the podcast before. He did our Final Fantasy X episode with his buddy Jason.
Woo!
I figured I'd bring him back to discuss his favorite game series from our childhood, the Jack and Daxter series. Since we kind of did Ratchet and Clank last week, I figured we'd do the other big platformer. That, at least to my knowledge,
I missed terribly.
Yeah, there has been rumors of a Jack 4.
I know, they talked about it.
Some rumblings.
And they were gonna... I looked into this, they were gonna do it, but I'm like, nah, our ideas aren't, like, we're not ready yet. Like, if we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it right. And if we do it right now, it wouldn't be right. So, sorry. And
yeah.
So, we don't know.
They did release that little bit of concept art for the Jack 4. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, man. Well, okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah, look
after
it up. Show me later.
We're
talking. Oh, that's exciting.
But yeah, so I figured we would discuss the Jack and Daxter series, the three main ones, because there is some offshoot ones.
Yeah.
Jack and Daxter was developed by Naughty Dog. It was one of PlayStation 2's like earliest releases, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I have the stuff. It came out on December 31st, 2001, the very first game, which launched the whole series.
Yep.
So there's a couple other games in the series. Hold on, I have that list up as well. I'm, like, facing away from the mic. Hold on.
I can tell you most of them. I'm fairly certain.
Well, Jack and Daxter, the Precursor Legacy, which is the first one.
Yeah.
And then Jack 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Lost Frontier, which... I didn't play that. What did
the
you
Lost,
think of it? Let's just get Lost Frontier out of the way, because I didn't play it.
It's not entirely canon. Like, it kind of is, but isn't, because it was created by a different developer.
Yeah.
They were kind of given... like, the okay from Naughty Dog's, like, use it, go ahead, but it was okay. I mean, I don't know, but
They did release... Well, hold on, before I actually go on to the next thing, what was the storyline in it? Did you beat it?
No, dude, I got stuck, and I didn't care enough to continue.
I mean, what was the story supposed to be?
It really wasn't bad, but, like, it wasn't good enough for me to keep going. See if I can, like, I'm trying to remember. I played it at least 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I can just look it up real quick.
Yeah, look it up.
Game begins with Jack and Daxter escorting Kira on her journey to become a sage to help find a reason for... Okay.
That was it. Yeah, no. So, actually, that's all I remember.
That's fine.
I do remember their setup being... you know, good, just everything else was, you know, the storytelling itself was lackluster, the characters were lackluster, but, I mean, it wasn't bad, just in comparison, not great.
The only other games I was going to cover briefly was the Jack X Combat Racing, did you ever play it?
I played it with a buddy once, I don't remember much about it, but I did... like,
I heard it was fun.
Yeah, like, well, I just devoted an evening to just, like, looking into Jack and Daxter related things, just because, and I looked into that and, like, watched the cutscenes and the stories, and, like, that was pretty good from what I told, like that, and then the Daxter game for the PSP. Like,
Daxter was pretty good.
Like,
I was
those are all
going to that next.
Those are all mostly in canon with Jack 1, 2, and 3.
Daxter was cool because it bridged the story between 1 and 2,
which made no sense.
Well, because remember the culture shock between 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Alright, let's just... I guess we can address the elephant in the room right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between Jack 1 and the latter half of the series is gigantic.
Oh, absolutely.
They took their kind of, like... Jack 1 was really whimsical and kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Whimsical. It was whimsical and kind of fun, and like it was a much more happy, look-o-lucky feeling game. Jak 2 and 3 was very dark, like for all the cartoony,
I loved
cartoon
that.
Style.
I loved that.
It was really good,
and
it was the kids' version of GTA almost.
Kind of, yeah. Well, and the reason Naughty Dog did that. They wanted to develop more serious games, and instead of just doing one, like, let's do this new title, completely serious off the bat, transition. So, transition, like using this Jak and Daxter platform, but to make it edgy.
I remember.
And that's, like, their kind of foot in the door to T-rated and then to M-rated.
Which they've only had one M-rated game so far.
Well, yeah, and Jak 2 was their first T-rated game ever.
Yeah. I guess before we start talking about the... Because your favorites are 2 and 3, if I
remember. No, my favorite is 2, but my second favorite's 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do really like 3, but it's my least favorite of the 3.
Okay. So, to start off, Jak 1 sets it up where you play Jak. He's a mute, I believe, in the first... He doesn't speak at all in the first game, except for...
Yeah, like...
He's almost a lame character.
I think this thing was... They always thought of him, like, he had the capability to speak, but, like, never used it, so kind of, like, he could make noises, but that was it. So, because I remember in the second game, they're talking about the little kid, you know, young Jak, and I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh, yeah,
but,
well, all right, well, before, just to,
but,
preface all of this, there will be spoilers in this, so for people, believe it or not, the game series has a really good storyline. Which you wouldn't expect from the the art style of it, because it is very cartoony, but it's like it's a good cartoony. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean to take away from the seriousness or anything like that of the story, but it's a very cartoony look.
But yeah, so when because I remember the line in Jak 2 where they're meeting young Jak for the first time, and Daxter says, maybe he's a mute, like you used to be. So, like, but Jak still, he made noises, so he wasn't entirely a mute, so I think he was someone who could speak, but never did, and then just kind of became a mute.
Yeah.
Over time.
So Jak and Daxter, the precursor legacy, what started off, if you guys haven't watched it, there is a, like, behind-the-scenes thing of when they released the HD remake. It's, like, a 30-minute, mini-documentary.
So cool.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
But they talk about how, like, what... I remember playing it. The documentary brought up a good point. Like, it's a point that I didn't realize I even noticed when I was playing the game, I guess you could say. The day and night cycle. That was the first game I ever played that had a full, there was no load times. You loaded the game once, and it was a day and night cycle that would just cycle in, like, go, and it would just switch back and forth, and you just never noticed.
Yeah.
It was, you never really knew, you never really experienced anything like that. I mean, you never experienced anything like that in a game before, and it was awesome. Like,
yeah,
I just remember
the
night, nighttime. That was my least favorite, of course. What was your favorite zone in the original one? I know that was a bad segue, but bear with me.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I'm trying to remember all the different places.
Mine.
But.
All right, so it started out on you had. The Sandova Village, and that was the first little hub.
Sandover, and, though. So Sandover Village.
Sandover Village?
Yeah.
Does it tell us here? We have the plot up in front of us.
Yeah. Could, like, control...
Yes, you're right. Sandover.
Oh, that's what I thought.
I know that's really minor, but I'm picky.
Me too. That's why I brought it up.
Sandover Village, it's like the first hub, because then you have the beach, you have Lurker Island, and then you have the jungle.
Lurker
My
Island
personal
cool.
favorite
I
was
like the
jungle.
I like the jungle a lot. Yeah.
Personal favorite zone was the jungle. Because basically the way it worked, it was a straight platforming game. Like, there wasn't... and it was actually... I think it's honestly the most... it's the purest 3D platformer I've ever played.
Yeah.
Like, at least after, like, Super Mario 64 and all those other ones, because it's not, like, Ratchet and Clank is definitely a platformer series, but like there's a lot of shoot 'em up and shooting like shooter elements into it.
Yeah.
Same with like Jak 2 and 3, mm-hmm. though Jak 2 and 3's shooting elements were not nearly as polished as Ratchet and Clank's.
Yeah.
But Jak and Daxter,
that wasn't their focus.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Yeah. It definitely became in 2 and 3, but like they should have focused more on
probably
ironing it out, but whatever. But the initial one, it's just straight jump, spin attack, mm-hmm. you know, down smash, stuff like that. And it's a really pure platform. Yeah. And you have to punch a little, like, log things up.
Yeah,
it was a very pure platformer mm-hmm. in the idea that there's not a whole lot of superfluous things. It's pretty much just, like, you have your basic attacks and you do everything with those attacks. What was fun about it, though, was all the new worlds, how you had to mm-hmm. use them, and they broke up the action with, like, races and, like, hover bike things.
Yeah.
And
like, a fire canyon with the... Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those older ones where it was very... Zoomer. It was very... Yeah, I'm amazed you remember that. Holy crap. No, it's a collector platform.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense. Like, you collect precursor orbs, you collect power cores... Power cells?
Power cells,
that's what it is. Power cells, different kinds of eco.
Yeah.
You have green eco, which is your health, blue eco, which is electricity, red eco is fire, yellow eco is like power.
Yeah, like energy.
And you have, like... Oh, be careful.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
And then, like, with dark eco, which is what, you know, the main villain was studying.
Light eco.
And then
it does exist.
You have this ridiculous memory
for the oddest things I know.
So basically the game broke up. The gameplay was they would have a town hub, like you would jump from town to town, and that was the hub for three different zones. Three, maybe four. I don't remember if there was ever
four,
because there's only
there
three.
Were four in teleports.
There's only four village. I meant like
oh.
I meant in each, like when you go to a town, how many different
zones?
Yes, I think there was three in each. Because
I think
Sandover had the beach lurker. And
that's what you
the,
meant. Yes,
yeah, the
yes,
jungle.
Absolutely.
Then you went to Rock Village.
Rock Village,
which
that was kind of cool.
That was a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
There was a whole level where you're on the Zoomer.
Mm-hmm.
The whole level was on that.
Oh,
that was
right.
fun. Where you have
yeah,
to chase the
cool.
flying lurkers and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
That was... That,
That level was
frustrating. Yeah, that was tough.
No, it's really
fun.
Funny. When we get to Jak 2, we'll talk about one of the most frustrating levels for us. I figured out the easiest way to beat it. And I'll tell you when we get to Jak 2.
Yeah, when we get to that, please.
So, you would travel from place to place, and you're basically the point of it is Daxter falls in your best friend Daxter. He was human, or mm-hmm. their version of human.
Yeah, humanoid.
He falls into dark eco and turns into this little Otzel, which mm-hmm. I don't think it's a real animal, is it?
Yeah,
Otzel. Is Otzel really?
I'm fairly certain.
Well, whatever. I don't know.
Oh,
anything.
Actually, no. What? It's not. No, otter.
No, it says it right here. Otter and weasel. It's an Otzel.
That's it. Yeah.
And so he turns
freedom.
Into that, which you find out later. Spoilers, it's a precursor.
Which is so cool. Big twist.
And so
loved
you
it.
Are loved trying it. To find this other one of the Sage of Dark Eco, because you're the Sage of your village is
Gal
the Green Acheron, Eco Sage.
The Sage.
And you have to.
It's far to the north.
Dear
but no one's spoken to him in ages.
Oh my god.
Yes,
Mike,
anyway.
You're killing me.
I know. I'm a bad person. Continue.
And so you have to find Gal Acheron and try to see if he knows how to reverse Daxter back to normal. And that's pretty much the plot to it.
Mm-hmm.
But spoilers, Gal is evil, and he's the one who's, like, set
mm-hmm.
lurkers on everyone.
Yeah. Well, like, and yes, your original goal is to bring Daxter back, but as the game goes on, you start to see more and more, like these sages are disappearing. Why are they disappearing? These lurkers are getting more and more violent and rampant. What's going on? So you almost forget that, like, oh yeah, we're doing this to change Daxter back. That was our original...
Yeah, you completely forget about it. You have a whole new goal.
Yeah, and then, like, two-thirds of the way through the game, it's like, Oh, the guy we're... Oh, he's bad.
Yeah.
Oops. He can't help us. Let's
and
kill him.
The original... In that game, that's the first game, like, before there was trophies and platinums on, like, the PlayStation thing and whatnot, I technically platinum that game. Like I got all the precursor orbs, which took forever.
Okay,
and I always remember the last one is towards the end. It's you know the level where I forget the village name, but you have to hop in a minecart to get to the level.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate that area. Mm-hmm. Just trying to get to that level.
Oh, understandable.
And it like the minecarts like weave in and out of each other, but there's a rock formation in between like two sets of tracks.
Yeah.
And you have to jump onto the rock formation to get it.
Yes,
and that's always
this.
The last
yes.
one. I spent so long searching for that thing, and I finally found it, and just, it was so hard to get.
And then, once you got all 100, you got that cutscene about the time machine,
yes.
right? I mean, you don't actually see the time machine, but, like, with the door opening, it's like,
yeah.
precursors.
You see them in the time machine, they're sitting in it, almost like Santa's sleigh.
Yes, yes.
But then you don't see anything. Like, you see them burst off through the portal, and that's about it, I think. I think
the beginning of Jack 2.
No, I think you see them go through the portal, like actually go into it, but you don't see them come out wherever they land, do you?
No, you don't see that.
You don't see it?
Okay. No, because that's the very beginning of Jack 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the door stays shut. Like after you beat the game and Jack and Kira almost have their kiss, but Daxter says, put on a nice big guy, and breaks him apart. I remember this. The door is still closed, unless you somehow manage to get, like, all 100 by the time you beat Gaul, mm-hmm. which most people don't.
Well, all the power cells.
Yeah, so
you don't need all the precursor orbs, just all the power cells.
Right, that's it. But never mind, that's right. But
all
yeah,
100
but,
power cells.
But yeah, so then once you get all 100 power cells, completely different still. All orbs get you something, too. I forget what.
I don't think it does.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember.
It gets you 100% and you feel good. But
yes,
no,
it does.
But all 100 power cells, once you fill the door with that, the precursor door, it opens up. And then that's the end of the game, and this white light shines. And then
is that
Samos
light?
Says, like... But they're like, wow. It's like, it's crazy. And then you... Then he's like, close up on his face, like, I love precursors. And then, black.
And then
you don't know what it is. Until, I don't think they even knew what it was.
No, I think, they left it for themselves. So
yeah, they had ideas, I'm sure.
If they wanted to expand on the universe.
Yeah, and they did.
They did a
and
lot.
And I loved it.
They really, like, took a really simple concept.
Yeah.
And just morphed it into something really
it's
complex.
Like, everything you know is a lie.
I mean, there wasn't too much with, like, this first game was very simple, sweet
yeah.
and simple. It worked
mm-hmm.
really well for what it was, and it's actually my favorite one in the series, just because of how sweet and simple it is.
How charming it is, yeah.
There's lots
charming.
Of things you can always go back and do, and, like, even,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, one of my favorite... Well, not my favorite, but I just remember, discovering it, like, in the jungle zone, which is my favorite zone.
Yeah,
one,
right.
I like the fish minigame a lot.
That is fun. That was hard at first, remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we spent hours. So much time.
We had Dad try it.
He was getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And, you know remember the plant boss that you have to fight?
Yes.
Where like
yes.
you have to dodge all his little guys and then
little
he's just like
fours.
Then he like basically almost goes like all snooty, like upturns his chin and puts his two
oh,
knees
yeah,
out
yeah,
and
yeah.
you have
then
to
you
jump
up and whack him.
And whack him. And I was he's like and if once you beat him, if you jump on his head, he like spits out precursor
yep.
orbs, and you I think I fell on him once. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But you keep doing it, and he'll give you like five or six
yep.
precursor orbs.
I love that.
And I always remember that. I'm like, what? This is. I don't know why it just stuck with me. I mean, it's really
yeah,
not that.
It was a really cool thing though at the time. Like who would think of that?
Who would think to? I should say who would think.
No, who would think to do that though?
Well,
just like
game designers have done that for ages.
No, no,
though,
but
like,
what player?
Oh,
would
what
think?
Player?
You know, just like I'm gonna jump on this guy's head that I just beat. It's gonna give me orbs.
That's true.
Duh. You know,
but
obviously
it was. I love that game a lot. And
for all our listeners, I'm taking my shoes off. My feet are warm. So you all know.
Thanks for sharing.
That's what's happening in this room at the moment.
Thanks for sharing.
They're really cool shoes, by the way. Continue,
thanks
Josh.
For
you were saying. You were saying? Oh, dang it. I bumped the thing.
Stop doing that.
That's only twice.
Sorry. I don't know. Do you have anything else to add for the game? Like, I was trying to... I had something and I lost it, like, a second ago.
probably because of my shoe
thing. Distracted me. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
my
fine.
Feet do that to people.
What?
Anyway, anything else to say about Jak and Daxter, the precursor legacy? I don't know. I guess I just remember seeing advertisements for it on TV, and I was blown away by the idea of it, and the one thing I remember the commercial saying was, because they had just come from doing Crash Bandicoot, mm-hmm. and they said, like, the design of Jak alone has more detail than an entire screen of Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah, because the PS2 had so much.
Yeah, like it was a huge jump in technology no one was ready for.
I loved when they were talking about, in that little documentary before the HD remakes came out, how, like, Naughty Dog, the way they would distribute processing power onto the PlayStation processor as well.
Like they did stuff you were never supposed to do with the PS2 they take stuff from the PS1 and, like, reverse engineer it.
It was really strange how they did it.
Crazy stuff.
And so when mass media, the people who converted it over to 1080p and whatnot, like, made it
and
HD,
and remastered
they were saying, like, we weren't expecting all this code to be there.
These ridiculous algorithms.
And then Naughty Dog was even like, we never designed this with the idea that someone would go back and try to improve.
That some poor soul would have to
try to understand our chicken scratch at the time.
And they're like, how did we do that? Why did we do it that way? I'm sure it made sense at the time.
Oh, yeah, well, that's why you leave extensive notes.
Yes, absolutely.
But all right, so let's move on to Jak 2. Jak 1 pretty much, like, leaves off with, like, well, the beginning of Jak 2 opens up with them traveling through that door that you see at the secret ending of Jak 1.
Yes.
And what ends up happening is...
Well, not the door.
The gate.
The gate that was inside the door.
No, the power cell thing. They travel through that.
Because they took off from their house.
But through the gate. I remember that specifically.
Inside the big precursor gate was a little gate in itself, like, as a circular thing that they would go through.
The precursor ring. It says it right there.
Yeah, the precursor ring. That's not what the door is.
The thing at the very end of Jak 1. That's the same thing.
No, because they took off from their house. They didn't take off from the
precursor ring they found in the previous game.
Yes, they found it inside the door.
Which door? What are you talking about?
The power cell door. Because they took off back in time from next to their house, not from the tower, from the silo, where that door is. That door's not portable. That door is, like, attached to the building.
They had to travel through that, though, because that's exactly what happened.
No.
Yes, it was.
No.
I'm sure of it.
Can we, like, edit this next part out as we look it up?
No. We'll be fine. We'll be quick.
It's okay.
Okay. So, well, sorry about the little jump there, guys. We were just looking up the video because now we were curious. Michael was right. I was wrong.
I didn't ask to be born this way. I'm
jerk.
A bad man. Anyway.
So they jump through this portal, which you don't do. They get it. You get, I guess, inside the gate.
Yeah. It was like the whole package that they transported from the precursor door to their house.
Okay, and so they jump through the gate and they end up in Haven City. Well, we don't know it yet.
Right when they open the gates, The metalhead leader comes out, who you don't know who they is at the time, just like, I'm coming for you, boy, and these metalheads swarm out, and then Samos says, so this is how it happened.
Because he knew.
Because... God, it's so cool!
I forget.
Yeah.
How does he know that again?
Because they meet another Samos in the past, and that's him.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? And he goes back in time with young Jak to raise him.
Okay.
So Samos kind of knows what's happening this whole time.
That's crazy.
And
I forgot about
And that's why he's like, so this is how it happened. So this is how metalheads got into, you know, their world.
So, okay.
From the future.
Yeah. So Oh my god, that's crazy. Right? This is some like some Terminator level stuff going on here.
It's so cool. It's like, so this is how it happens. Like,
and like they hint at it so much. Yeah. Okay.
And then they go through the time.
Time warp again. And they go through the time warp then. Yes, they end up in Haven City, and Jack gets captured immediately and entered into what is called, hold on, it has it listed here. The Dark Warrior Project, yes. I think?
Yes, the Dark Warrior Project. That's what
Baron Praxis.
Praxis, yeah, that's what his big thing was, to defeat the Metalheads, was this Dark Warrior thing, but every test subject up to this point had failed and died.
And Jack's the only one who survived.
Mm-hmm. But, like, they weren't getting the results they wanted, because I remember him saying, like, you should be dead with all the dark ego. Wait, like,
yeah, you, like, should be dead with all the dark ego.
You should at least be dead. Like you're not working. At least die. Come on.
Yeah. And so Daxter sneaks into the facility where Jack is being held, which you don't know how he finds out, but you do find out through
in Daxter, the game for Daxter. PSP. Yeah. Well, because like, and right when Jack gets captured, Daxter runs away, and then they say, "Forget the rat. The Baron wants him."
Yeah.
And then Daxter screams, "You know, he'll come back for Jack," but he hasn't come back. He's not able to get to him two years later because
and
of the
Jack's
events.
First words Daxter. Are, "I'm going to kill Praxis."
Yeah, and this was such a big thing. Cause he never spoke.
And the first thing he says is about murdering someone. Yeah. Flat out, just murdering them.
And like, and my biggest, I was very young when playing this. Like in. Probably elementary school, middle school?
I don't remember.
When did this come out?
This came out in, October 14th,
2003. So at that point, I was 11, so probably 6th grade. Okay, so I was like 10 or 11 years old, and I was young enough to still think that piss was like to piss someone off was like a really edgy thing to say, and in this scene, like when Jack goes all like ape and crazy, and then goes back to normal, Daxter says, "Remind me not to piss you off." I'm like, and my reaction is like, "Oh my gosh, this is a teen game! Wow,
he's so precious, it's like a little baby."
It blew my mind. It's like Jack and Daxter has officially made the switch. Holy crap!
And they also say hell and
damn it and stuff.
It's a big culture shock from the first game. The first game absolutely. Is so tame and cute, and then the second one's just very dark.
It's
a really good storyline. So cool. The thing that I remember with Jack 2 and even with Jack 3, though they fixed it a little bit, is the outrageous difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Jack 2 was a tough game.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
Not even the controls. Like, you felt like you were in control of Jack almost all the time. But what was hard was just how, like, okay, so do you, I'm about halfway through the game that I'm replaying now on my current playthrough of Jack 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and do you remember, I forget, Bruder asks you to go get something. Remember Bruder? He's one of the lurkers who are now like...
Yes, the merchant in like the slummy area.
And so he sends you to do something, and you go to like the docks up in the northern half of the city.
Yep.
So you go there. I think you see the Oracle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right? Odin.
Odin. And you come back out, and there's all...
It's not quite the docks. It's the really slummy area near the docks.
But, well, it's all water, though. It's all water.
Oh, no. No, you're thinking... Oh, yes. No, the Oracle, the statue.
Not the docks. Yeah, I'm sorry. Not the docks. Not where Crew is and whatever. But
no,
like,
that's not the docks.
That's not... That looks like... Never mind. But all
it has
the
water, but it's
the top... Well, whatever. That looks like a dock to me because it had, like, things for ships to come and land all the time.
Yeah, but you're talking about, like, with, like,
it's almost
the
like
wooden planks
with,
and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the docks,
up in the top right.
Yeah.
And so...
And then with the Oracle statue with, like welcome, dock.
What? Yeah. And you leave, and then all of a sudden all, like, the soldiers come, Praxis the soldiers come, and you have to fight your way back. You know what I'm talking about?
And
there's lots of missions like that. It was outrageously difficult. Mm-hmm. Know how I beat it?
How?
I got on the hoverboard and just went by them all. You can't go in the water because there's an insta-kill turret in the water.
Right.
But what you do is, like, you just hop on the hoverboard, and before the ship will come in, and while they're dropping guys, you will have already passed under it. So as long as you're still moving, their turret thing can't hit you.
Wow.
Like, because that was the thing. Like, you couldn't even go close to keep yourself safe because the turret would start shooting you.
Huh.
So I was replaying it, and I'm like, I was starting to get pissed off. I'm like, this is ridiculous. How did I beat this in the first place?
Right.
Because I was being really careful the one time. I made it through, I'm going to say, about three quarters of it before I got hit at all. I was not being touched. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, because what it starts out with just dropping one ship of soldiers at a time, or one airship of soldiers at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move to having two, but they pincer you on either side, and you don't really have anything that's like that. It's like easy to aim. It's not like you can't jump off the dock, so you're stuck in this area where you can't shoot anything and you can't dodge anything. So, and the camera doesn't turn. I mean, I'm glad the camera doesn't turn with you because it would make it a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
But like when they pincer you and you're narrow, like you're screwed. It's a really difficult mission. I just hopped on the hoverboard and just went right over it.
That's
and
fantastic.
It took like 2 seconds. I was like, why did I not do this the first time? And it was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack 2 was cool because they offered a whole bunch. Well, one, like I said, it's kind of like the Grand Theft Auto, a kiddie version of GTA.
Yeah.
Because like you could steal people's cars, just don't steal the cops' cars. One of my favorite things to do, though, was get one of the big cars, like almost like the minivan up there. And what I would do is I would drive down low, so I, like, not because I want to run over people, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But like the motorcycle equivalents were really easy to blow up.
Yes.
So what I would do is I would, because you could switch altitudes between high and low, remember?
Yeah.
And so what I would do, I would go really fast, and I would see the hover bike coming at me, but at higher altitude, and I'm going low, and I would pop up right underneath it, so it knock up under, almost like I don't know what movie that reminds me of, almost like you ever, like Tomorrow Never Dies, if anyone's seen that.
Yeah.
Bond shoots the enemy pilot into the airplane above him. It's kind of like that, but I'm not shooting any pilot, I'm just hitting
the I did something similar. I'd see a motorcycle coming, and I'd be in a bigger vehicle. I'd go towards it head on, go really fast, and then jump out right before I'm about to hit it, and then
and it would explode, and then
and like the big car would be damaged, but it'd be okay. The little car would go flying back in the opposite direction, and just
one of my favorites too would be if my car was on fire, I would go straight. I would like go up behind someone like at full speed, knowing I would hit them. Jump out of the vehicle mid, like right before I'm about to hit them, and the momentum would propel me over top of it, and I would just steal the car from them and keep going.
I loved doing that.
You felt so awesome doing
B-A.
And so Jack 2 was just unique because it offered guns now as opposed to no weapons in the first one. The storyline was really in-depth.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
a very detailed, like really,
really well
cool
done.
Story. Really good characters. There was now like hover bike races. There was a hoverboard, which was really fun to use, and you could use it almost anywhere. Like it was a big game too. Like Haven City was huge.
Oh yeah, and even though that was your main hub, like you went other places, but that was where you spent most of your time.
Mm-hmm.
You never got bored though, because like
they offered enough variety within the city.
Yeah, because the city had so many different parts to it.
There's slums.
So
there was the docks. There was like. Mm. The downtown, which I guess would be the recruit, be like the...
And they had, like, a good way of keeping you out of places that you shouldn't have gone, that you shouldn't go to yet, because they required security passes.
And if you try to
And
go in,
you couldn't go certain places unless you had a security pass. So, it would stop you from discovering the city all at once. You know?
In other games, they do that. Like, GTA does that a lot, but the way they kind of dissuade you is that they just, if you go into an area you're not supposed to, you immediately get, like, a 5-star wanted level and, like, cops and helicopters and everything. This just doesn't let you in it, I don't think. So, like, Jack 2 was just it was a huge step in the right direction, I would say, for Naughty Dog as a developer. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was the best step in terms of the game series, not because of the storyline, but, like, it was just such a big tonal shift.
Yeah.
Like, Jack and Daxter 1 it could be part of a completely different series and you wouldn't even know it.
It could, yeah.
The only thing linking it together is just the fact it's the characters, really, yeah. And the ending of it.
Yeah,
that's really, I mean, like, it, because like you could totally take out Jack One, mm-hmm. and there would be no part of it, no
true,
no reason, like, and there's no purpose for it in the main story between 2 and 3. Yeah.
And I can see, well,
what happens in One other than the end?
Let's, I guess, for detail wise, yeah, you're right, but just like, just to have it there, it's needed there as a plot point in itself.
I would say
just
it's,
to be there.
I'd say it's more there for like character development.
True.
It's kind of like Full Metal Alchemist the original, and then watching Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yes,
like Brotherhood is the superior series, but like it has not nearly as much character development because they're expecting that you watched the original one beforehand. So. Like, you kind of, like, when you hear Daxter, the way he acts in 2 and 3, and see, not just hear him, but see how he acts, mm-hmm. if you see him in the first one, you see the progression of his character from the first one to the third mm-hmm. one. I'm going to have to move this
one. I'm in close quarters here.
Well, just don't move your legs.
I'm the rookie guy.
So, sorry, if you hear rumbling, Michael keeps accidentally hitting the microphone.
Like 3 times.
It's okay, though. It's okay. I'm just a stickler for those things.
I punched it. Just kidding.
I didn't punch it. Choking around. By the way, this didn't happen, but I found it humorous, though some people might be offended, so I apologize. But Justin and I were talking about, one of our other roommates has a crocheted Pokeball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I threw it at the cat, and I'm like, oh man, it didn't work. I couldn't catch Inigo. And so I'm like, I gotta weaken him first. And so Jester's like, what if you just start punching the cat? We didn't do it. We don't condone animal violence, nothing like that. It just, I'm just picturing some this guy, like, punching an animal, like, why won't you
gotta
go in the...
Gotta catch him all! That's me!
He's just like crying. He's like, I just want you into Pokeball.
That's
why won't you go in the Pokeball?
But no, yeah, like Jack is rather Jack and Daxter in the Precursor Legacy is detached a bit, but like I am so happy with the arc as a whole and just the transition into Jack 2, I don't like that. It doesn't bother me.
They did a real... For the massive tonal shift, mm-hmm. I was going to bring it up. I love how well they are able to shift the tone.
Yes.
Because they do it in a way where, like, the opening cutscene is meant to be a culture shock. Like, mm-hmm. it starts in the happy-go-lucky world of Jack 1 and immediately plunges you into Jack 2, and they're like, what is this? Like, mm-hmm. everyone's reaction is, what is this place? And, though, my only real complaint of the fish-out-of-water thing with that is that, like, Kira doesn't even remember Jack.
Huh?
She barely remembers him. Like, you walk up to her and...
Well, he's complete... Like...
Yeah, I know,
I'm not
but,
sure
like,
I would recognize him.
But the
him.
Thing is, like, I feel like Daxter never gave up.
Yeah.
But I always felt like Kira just gave up right away.
Well, you don't know what she did in those 2 years, exactly.
Do they ever discuss
no.
it?
All you know is that now, at this point, she is an accomplished mechanic. But you don't know any details of her 2 years...
That'd be an interesting thing for
yeah,
them to like talk
actually,
if they ever fly, like that could be a good comic book.
Yeah, because you don't know like if she tried looking for Jack.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I guess that's true. I guess
or Samos.
It's just because she was so standoffish at like when she meets Jack again.
Well, because he's a completely different person.
I know, but they're what like even when she first sees him, there's no joy in her eyes.
Well, because she's gotten to know him without seeing him. Before that, the first time they talk, they don't see face to face. She's behind a curtain. It's like, hey, why don't you do this, and then maybe we'll talk. It's like, okay, fine. So she got to know this. Pardon my French. This asshole.
This gruff version of Jack.
Yeah,
as opposed
yeah.
To the
who she didn't know.
Lovable mute.
Yeah,
not really mute.
Yeah, who she would have no idea was Jack.
Yeah, that's a good point. I totally forgot
yeah.
you. And I remember when we were playing as a kid, we were both freaking out, like, that's Kira. That's gotta be Kira.
He's like, how can he not know?
The silhouette. Like, yeah. They were like, just show. I want to see them kiss.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's why... at least I think why she was standoffish at first, because she got to know him as a jerk. And then found out, oh, this jerk is Jack. This is my Jack. What happened?
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have a better memory on this than I have, because I, like, while I am midway through this playthrough, I started it, I forget how long ago Jack 2, because I platinum Jack 1. Like, Jack 1 is the one I know the most of.
Yeah.
Jack 2 I don't know nearly as much on, from what I remember. Jack 3 is even less than that, because I only played Jack 3 once. All I remember is that...
I think I played it twice. Or three.
His love interest is no longer Kira.
That made me mad.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later, after we finish Jack 2.
Didn't it feel... I mean, I know it's in Jack 3 that he kisses her, Ashley. Yeah. It's Ashley, right?
Ashlyn,
that's it.
Yeah,
Ashlyn. He kisses Ashlyn, and, like, that's his love interest, technically, now. Yeah. They're a thing. They're an item. But doesn't it seem like it comes out of nowhere?
It does, because, like, there's always been, like... You could argue that there was, like, you know, like, some chemistry between them and Jack, too, because there was, but,
yeah,
like,
a little bit.
But it was never explored, and it was set up that Ashlyn and Torn, the underground resistance leader, former Crimson Guard captain, you know, that they were a thing.
Yeah.
Because that was well-established. And now, all of a sudden, in Jack 3... Kira plays almost no role.
Yeah.
She has a few lines, but does nothing. And that was the only thing I liked about Lost Frontier, because they brought back Kira as the love interest for whatever reason.
So Ashlyn's not in Lost Frontier at all?
I mean, I don't remember. She's not his love interest, that's for sure.
That's so strange. I guess we've jumped all over the place with it. I guess we should kind of talk about the plot of it now that we've name-dropped all these people.
Yeah. Well, first let's get to 3, and then...
Well, no, the plot of 2, I mean.
Oh, yes.
And basically, after Daxter rescues Jack, he takes him to the underground right away, doesn't he? The resistance movement?
No, he doesn't. They escape, and then they meet Kor, who is really the Metalhead leader in disguise.
You don't know that yet.
You don't know that yet. Kor with young Jack. Then for it, this is sketchy, but they have these Crimson Guards. I have numbers like, you are in a restricted area, surrender and die. And
don't you mean surrender or die?
Not in this city.
And you have to run
And then they said, protect me from these guards, and I'll show you someone who can help you. And then you beat these guards, and Jack goes Dark Jack for the first time. And and then he's like, wow, you know, there's a lot of strength. And, you know, go see Torn in the slums. He can help you.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, so Kor directs
very
us.
Coincidental. No, the fact that it is Kor, I think, makes that scene a lot less coincidental.
Oh,
because
Because, it's
like
all
we
part
said,
of his plan.
Okay, so now the new enemies are no longer... The first game, the real enemies were pretty much the Lurkers.
Yeah.
This one is now pretty much the Metalheads.
Mm-hmm.
And the Metalhead leader is disguised as a human named Kor.
Yes.
So you don't really know how... It doesn't make it... They don't really explain that. I think you're supposed to accept it.
Like, his power is suppressed by, like, something in the wall, so he couldn't be his full form in the city.
Okay.
Something like that.
So... You fight the Metalheads, but it makes, like I said, it makes that scene a whole lot less coincidental, the fact that it's the actual Metalhead leader there and not just, like, oh, here's an old man who just happens to be at the right place at the right time. You could totally picture Kor, with all his power and everything, being able to, like, he's getting out today.
Yeah,
or even
exactly.
If he doesn't know it, like, even if he's not 100% sure, just something like that.
Yeah. So he knows what's going on, and that's why after seeing Jack, you know, do his dark thing, he was very intrigued at that point.
Yeah, and so that's when you meet Torn, who is the core Torn. I'm combining the two names. Yeah. Tor. No, you meet Torn, who's the resistance leader, and you have to basically gain his trust.
And you also meet, briefly, what's her name? Daxter's girl.
I forget her name.
Blonde girl. I feel like it starts with a T.
Well, she works at Crew's Pub, doesn't she?
No, no, she does later, but she's... You briefly see her when you meet Torn, and then when you're at Crew's Pub...
Oh, yeah, you find out she's working undercover.
Yeah, a little later, she's like, hey, aren't you at the underground? She's like, shh, I'm undercover. Tess! Tess is her name. Tess.
Good memory.
She's hot.
Her and Ashlyn are really good looking for, you know, non-real 3D sprites. Oof,
I'm not even ashamed.
And I love how when in Jack 3 he names the... Alright, so there's... Sorry, before I jump ahead of that. So basically, you basically become friends with the Underground. You become friends with this character named Crew, who's pretty much like the mafioso of the city.
Who has ties with everyone, and that's why you even bother doing some of his dirty work to get things to help you along. Because he knows people.
And so the plot pretty much progresses between... Like, you helping a bunch of different parties out for you to get to Prax so you can finally have your revenge. That's Jack's motivation at first.
At first.
And then, like the first one, a lot of things change. And like,
but then as he continues to do things for the Underground, he's more now, like as he wants to get Prax, but also is like, I need to save this city. I need to help these people.
He really... Like, because at first he just doesn't care.
No.
He very much is the... Not an anti-hero. I wouldn't call Jack an anti-hero, because he's not, like... I mean, I guess technically he is now.
In a way, but...
I feel like he always was meant to be a hero, but he's just so bitter that he comes off as an anti-hero.
Yeah, I can see that.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, so, I forget, like, pretty much the whole end of the game, like...
Oh, I remember.
Okay, explain it.
Okay,
Dole it out. Spoilers. So, spoilers.
Yes. Let's see. I'm trying to remember the details. So there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on. This little kid, who we find out later is young Jack, is the heir of Mar, who founded Haven City a long time
ago. Then got exiled, right?
No.
Okay. All right, so are we doing the whole story of, like, Jack 2 and 3?
Probably.
Alright, so we're just going to use this as our segue from Jack 2 to 3 then.
Yeah, so then there's a lot of stuff. Along with your quest to help save the city, there's other stuff going on with a young Samos, the sage, who... And then you later meet regular Samos, the sage, and he's been, like, in prison this whole time. And they don't get along very well, because they're the same person. But, Samos, the young Samos, is he's called the Shadow. He's the real leader of the Underground. And he knows this kid is the heir of Mar, and then he's trying to restore him to the throne to get rid of Praxis. And Kor is also helping him, but for his own twisted metalhead needs.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's the guy Vin, the computer guy, who...
There's also Sig.
Sig was kind of like Crew's hired help, but
it was Crew's hitman, basically.
Yeah, but like a really good guy. But so then I'm trying to remember all the details, but you wind up using Mars cannon that he made, using the precursor stone. You use Mars Cannon to blow open the metalhead nest. There's also something with a bomb that Crew made, which you made
partway through the game, Praxis obtains the precursor stone, an artifact of immense power.
Yes.
Praxis intends to crack open the stone while it is inside the metalhead nest.
And they want to crack it open by using this bomb that Crew has made and or acquired.
Okay.
Yes, and then, but then, to stop Crew from blowing it open, you kill Crew. And let's see. And then he has a second one, which explodes. And let's see. And and when it explodes, the metalheads invade the city, which is not good.
And that's when you have to fight your way to the metalhead leader.
And then, so then you use a precursor stone to power this cannon that Mar made. And then you blow open the metalhead nest. And you go in and you fight Kor, who you found out, like, a little while back was the metalhead leader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you kill him, and, then the battle with Kor. I'm reading Wikipedia now, hold on here. So the precursor stone, breaks open, and this precursor, like, little sprite, little spirit, comes out. And tells him all these funky things, and so it turns out the stone was a precursor egg, who knew? And so then they bring the time machine back, which Kira had fixed up. Her original plan was for them to go back to their own time.
So,
but then,
not to interrupt you, just reading in the same synopsis as you were, the reason, there is actually a reason now for Jack 1. They sent him back in time, one, to protect him. That was the main reason.
Yes.
But to prepare him so he could train to fight Praxis.
Right.
So, which is the whole purpose of the Precursor Legacy. It's Jack training to become the Jack of Jack 2 and 3.
Yeah, so then Kira remakes the time machine, which turns out to be the same exact time machine they use, because she remakes it to look exactly like it, because it's the exact same one. Yeah, so, now, which leads to how it got in that precursor tower in the first place is beyond me. Samos had something to do with that, I don't know. But Jack's like, no, this kid has to go back in time, you know, this younger me has to go back. And then young Samos is like, oh, crap, I guess that's my cue to go back in time, huh? Okay, I'll raise the kid. and Jack and... Oh, there's a great line. So there's a bright light before young Jack and young Samos go back in time. And so they go through the light and go back in time. And after... afterwards, Samos is talking with Jack and the gang, and is like... And, you know, the boy probably won't remember any of this. And Jack's like, no, I do remember the light. And I always thought that was so cool.
And that kind of makes sense, because that segues into Jack 3, where you don't get just Dark Jack, you get Light Jack, too.
And so
it's kind of like him going through darkness, but still remembering the light.
And so then it ends with this big fireworks thing, because the city's now safe, quote-unquote. But then they kind of hint, like, something else might be astir. Something else might happen. But for now, we celebrate.
Okay, and then the third one, really, like...
Third one, everything goes to hell.
Crazy plot twist.
Well, yeah, because now starts Jack 3, where, because Praxis has been taken down, if you think about it, and it's a very realistic thing, there's a struggle for power.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for someone to blame for the problems in Haven City.
And they blame Jack.
Eventually that blame comes to Jack because of his involvement with Crew. And they think that, you know, like, he allowed certain things to happen because he was working with Crew. And there's a new set of bad guys. There's the KGB. They're called
the KG.
Yeah.
Oh, the KG. No,
not the Russian, but
you mean KGR?
Is that
KG
what it says?
Robots?
No.
Is it really the KG?
KGB? Yeah,
they
like Russia.
They do not bury the lead.
No, they really don't. But so then, I don't remember how this is explained. But so then, Crimson Guard bots now are being made in this factory, and like they're a menace in the city. There's still metalheads also in the city, which are also a menace. And now there's this council with Count Viger, who's the guy in charge of that. He's the real jerk pulling the strings, who thinks Jack is a nuisance and wants him out. And so Jack gets exiled to the desert.
To the wasteland. And that's where you meet...
Deimos.
Who is really Mar.
No.
Wait, what I thought...
No, Jack is really Mar.
Was that what the plot twist
yeah,
was?
Yeah, because Deimos is a descendant of Mar, like a great great grandson or something.
Yeah.
And so Deimos, who is the leader of this city in the wasteland that's made up all of outcasts who have been exiled and whatnot, he's the king of it because Deimos is the former king, or like former ruler of Haven City, who was exiled by Baron Praxis when he took power, and Deimos is a descendant of Mar, and Deimos lost his son to Baron Praxis. His son is Jack, and his son's original name was supposed to be Mar.
Okay.
To be named after Mar.
Okay, so Jack is Mar, but he's not the Mar.
He's the Mar.
How? Because that would mean he's his own grandfather.
Exactly.
Are you?
He's his own, like, great-great-great-grandfather.
How?
Yeah.
That means he has to knock someone up in the past before the time travel.
No. He goes, like, back in time. He goes back in time because the time travel is, like, this is between Jack 1 and Jack 2 is where he ends up.
Yeah.
And knocks somebody up and becomes
Wait.
King.
No, so why would he travel back in between 1 and 2?
To become Mar to found Haven City.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Let me just lay this out so I understand.
Yes.
Jack 1, you travel to the future through the portal thing.
Mm-hmm.
You find out that at the end of Jack 2, that Jack was originally sent back in time to protect him because he's like a descendant of Mar or whatever. He's like the heir to the city and the Metalhead leader wants him.
Yeah.
And you find out that so the Jack we knew in Jack 1 was the one that got sent back in time at the end of 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, after all that happens, and the older Jack who stays in Haven City mm-hmm. then goes to all of
and
Jack 2 and Jack 3.
Yeah.
And then goes back in time after the end of Jack 3 because he has to for the cycle to actually be complete.
Yes.
So he can create Haven City.
Yes.
Oh,
now,
head hurts.
Now, see, like, they say that happens, but then it's kind of left to your, it's kind of left technically unanswered, like, wait, is that what happened? So, if you want, let's look up the Jack 3
ending. Well,
I mean, like right here on Wikipedia, like okay.
Jack's father. Thomas dies knowing Jack is his son. Reveals that Jack's true name is Mar.
Yeah, because, like, it's like, wait, like, it was like, so Jack is Mar? The Mar? But then, like, it's kind of, like, the way it happens, you're unsure if that really happened, like, if that's
yes.
really how it happens. It's proposed, but it's never, like, you know, like, this is what happened. Oh, and there's this whole other thing. The real bad guys are the Dark Makers, who are ancient enemies of the Precursors.
So there's another subplot.
Like this is the whole overarching thing. The Dark Makers are, like, this ancient evil, which, like, the Metalheads, I think, spout from.
Okay.
And they had, like, pretty much defeated all but the last three Precursors, who turns out are little Otzels.
When you realize that Daxter was meant to, like, Daxter actually turned into, like, the highest form of being,
mm-hmm.
technically.
And because of the certain concentration of Dark Ego that was there by being plunged full forth into it, he became a Precursor.
Which is that's just nuts.
Yeah. And Count Vigor, who is, like, the quasi-antagonist of Jack 3, he comes upon the three Precursors with them, but right before he finds out what they are, he makes a wish to be a Precursor. I forget why he's able to have this wish granted, but he is. And then when he finds out, he's disgusted. It's like, and to think I wanted to be one of them. oh no. Then he becomes a little Otzel, and he's very angry about it.
I don't remember, like, any of that. That's just, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It gets
you guys
want
to mess with your heads. Just listen to this plot.
It gets crazy. I love it.
Holy crap. Like, that just escalated so much from, like, right? Just a simple, like, oh, we need to have Baxter. Yeah. I'm in a glass box of emotion. Daxter to get changed back, and it just ends up with him, like, holy crap.
Yeah, right?
All right, so before, I guess, we close off, let's just talk about the gameplay itself, since we kind of, like, went off on that whole thing on the story.
It's crazy.
So the gameplay, it was cool, because Jack 3, now there's, like, practically two cities, because the city in the desert, do you remember the name of it?
Oh, God. I forget. Maybe I can see...
Spargus.
That's it, Spargus, yes, and so there's that, and then once you finally are able to go back to the city, it's, like, it's torn apart by war, and it's actually really cool to see what's happened to it.
They did a really good job of kind of how it progresses and everything. Mm-hmm. No, it just, and, oh, it was cool, they added in this game, there's the whole wasteland besides the city, too. The game was gigantic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was one of the biggest games I think I've ever played in terms of, like, the amount of stuff you can explore. Because, like, you could travel from Spargus to New Haven City through the desert. Yeah. It wasn't fun, necessarily, at least at first.
No, there was an airship that takes you.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, eventually? You don't actually drive straight there.
I feel like you do once or twice for, like, a mission or something.
I
don't remember, though.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah.
But there's lots of stuff to... Mm-hmm. And then you get all the different kinds of dune buggies and stuff like
that. Yeah, dune buggies are fun.
Yeah.
Those are really fun.
There was, like, the hopper. There was tons of different missions for them, too. Because, like, there were some that you needed a specific dune buggy
for. Because each one had a certain characteristic that was needed for a certain mission.
So, like, really there was, like, a hopper one, which let you spring more. I forget what some of the others were.
Yeah, they're really fun. And you form a nice rapport with, I forget the guy's name, but the really big guy talks kind of like this. And,
I forget. I do remember, though, that Sig actually worked for Domus.
Sig.
He infiltrated crew, but under Domus. Do you remember that? Like, Domus is the head of the city, or, like, Jack's dad, right?
Yeah, no,
And Sig, the bounty... Deimos, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's Damas. There's no OS. Screw you. Damas.
But that's how they say it.
It's Damas.
Deimos. Like, that's how they say it.
But, But Sig is is his bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Like, he infiltrated, and that was kind of a nice little plot twist when you find out that Sig really is actually a wastelander.
Yeah. Oh, and then Vin, the techie guy who dies at the end of Jack 2, he comes back in Jack 3, but only because he dumped his consciousness into his computer.
I remember that.
So you find him as...
This game is really, like, 80s.
Yeah, I love it.
It is really good. I don't have much more to say, because I don't remember much about Jack 3. Do you have anything you want to add to anything with Jack
3? Again, my main issue with it was that Ashlyn was now the love interest, and Kira did nothing, which made me very mad, because she played a big part in everything else. But other than that, I very much enjoyed it. It was... I don't think I have any more to add, really. It's like the feeling of once you're back in the city was really cool, of, like, it's being a war front, and plotting and fighting the two different enemies, and learning about the politics slowly of how things went after Jack 2 was really cool. But yeah, like, story wise it was great. It was, like, really, like, confusing, but in a good way.
Like, my mind's still trying to, like,
yeah,
work,
like, we're gonna look this up afterwards.
How you described it.
But yeah, so that's Jack 3 was great. And Jack X Racing, I vaguely remember
Did that actually continue any parts of the
story? Yes,
it did. It actually had a story?
It did, yeah. It had, and it was a good story, too. Like, there was a reason for them to be racing.
I may actually have to buy this game now.
I'll look it up. Seriously, it's actually really cool. We may not do it now.
We've already looked up enough things on the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, I know. We can do. But, I guess combat racing.
1 year after the Dark Maker has been destroyed, Haven City has been steadily rebuilt after the defeat of the Dark Maker menace, and has grown into a peaceful utopia. A new sport called combat racing has sprung up in Crash City, a dangerous dystopian city full of ruthless mobsters. Jack, Daxter, Ashlyn, Samus, Kira, and Torn are invited to the reading of Crew's last will. Okay. And they meet Crew's daughter, Rain. After offering a toast, Crew reveals in the recording that he always wanted to win the combat racing championship and demands that everyone present drive for him, revealing that the wine they toasted with was poison. Crew gives him ultimatum to win the next Crash City Championship and his team and receive the antidote when they win or die. Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually, like, it's a really contrived plot, but it's it's a nice little, it's almost like a wrap-up to the whole series.
It really is, yeah. It was because I actually just, like, took some time, and someone put together all the cutscenes to make it into a movie-esque thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, I watched all of Jack-X combat racing.
Cutscenes.
Yeah. And it was cool. It was cool.
Nice.
It was really fun. And that's kind of the last one, aside from Daxter, in the series that is in the same canon.
But, all right, well, that wraps it up for this episode of Still Loading. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the long delay. I mean, this is going up 3 weeks after our last one instead of 2 weeks, like I promised.
Oops.
But like I said, Justin's still been busy, so it's hard for me to find a co-host for me to record with while he's away.
Woo!
So thank you once again for thank you once again, all of you all, for listening. I can't close this out well. But thank you again, and I will see you all next time.
Bye-bye.